Please turn to Hebrews 12 as we look at these opening verses of that chapter together tonight. So as we come into a new year, people often make a list of resolutions, and they're determined to change their lifestyle. The way that they approach the year is often shown in these resolutions. But a survey in the Telegraph made known the top resolutions that people made, and I'm sure you could probably guess what is there. To exercise more, to lose weight, and to eat more healthily are the top three things on people's lists. Maybe these resonate with you. Maybe you've already taken out the gym membership, or you've signed up to a running club, or you've thrown out all the junk food already out of the house. But people put these things in place to help them to live a healthy life. But to do that, you need to continue to uphold these resolutions. You need to continue with them throughout the year. So often the exercise and the running, well, it's stopped by Easter time at the best. The healthy eating maybe gets to the end of January and then you slip up once again. You need to endure throughout the year. But in this passage we're looking at in Hebrews 12 tonight, it calls us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And it gives us some pointers as to how believers can run that race and how they can endure to the end. Of course, it isn't talking about us all becoming top athletes here tonight or preparing for the Belfast Marathon. But it's considering how we can run that spiritual race, that Christian life. And hopefully that will give us the right focus as we continue in faith to run this race before us tonight and into 2019. It's important to make clear here at the outset that the author of Hebrews is writing to believers here. And if you're a believer tonight, you have been entered into this race. This isn't some optional resolution that you might pick up when you feel like it. And it also isn't just for those really keen Christians, the ones who really want to go on. You see, if you have come to faith in Christ, you are in this spiritual race that has been planned out and set before you, and you must run in it. But maybe tonight you're here and you haven't yet come to faith. You haven't accepted Christ in your life. Well, then you are not yet in that race. You haven't got that number on your back, so to speak. And sadly, you will not be able to receive that great prize that is awaiting those who are in Christ Jesus. Because it is only those who are in Him and live through Him that are able to enter into all eternity with Him. What a great start to 2019 it would be if someone here tonight would enter into that race. That they would come to faith in Jesus and live for Him in the year ahead and for all eternity. Of course, there's many here tonight who have been part of this race for a long time. There's others here maybe just recently started out on it. But for all of us, I want us to think about how we can continue to run this race with endurance. And firstly, I want us to see that we run the race that many have completed. We run the race that many have completed. And we see in verse 1 this word, therefore, and it's there for the purpose of tying these verses to Chapter 11, that great passage of faith that we said, known sometimes as the heroes of the faith. And it gives this extensive list of Old Testament characters who have lived by faith in God through various circumstances. Well-known people like Noah and Abraham and Moses and David. But then there's those unexpected people like Rahab, who we heard about this morning, that prostitute. And there's even people who weren't named in the list, but they are said to have endured suffering, or they were stoned, or even sawn in half because of their faith. Great examples of people who lived by faith, people who endured to the end of the race, even though they faced many setbacks and challenges and trials along the way. I encourage you to go home and read that chapter 11 again. I know it gives me a great sense of how God has been at work through the lives of individuals and see how His hand has been at work all through the history of time, and how that God-given faith has stood the test of time. And so with this instruction to run the race tonight with endurance, the author says here that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. It seems here that he's comparing this with some sort of competitive race, where you imagine there's crowds of people encouraging the athletes on, they're cheering them on the way. And that would have been a familiar scene in the big cities at the time. And if you think about people running maybe the Belfast Marathon, the streets are lined with people, supporters, cheering on the runners as they go past. And as some of them runners get really tired and they're weary and they come to that hitting the wall, as they talk about, well, the crowd shout all the more and they cheer them, they spur them on, and they help them to keep going. Well, this list of Old Testament believers is a bit like the crowds cheering on the believer in a spiritual race. They are people who have endured the pain and the trials of the race, but they have already reached the end. It's not to be taken, though, that these people are somehow witnessing from heaven what we are doing here now. It's not anything like that. The Bible never talks anywhere about people looking down on us from heaven. When it talks about their witness here, it's talking about the testimony of their faith. But chapter 11 didn't just give us one or two of these testimonies. It wouldn't have been much encouragement if you're running the Belfast Marathon, there's only a couple of people by the roadside. No, we're given an extensive list here which spans a large sweep of history and time and various backgrounds and different people. So we have this great company of testimonies of those who have gone before us, who have completed the race and have already got the prize. And when we think about the likes of how by faith Abraham was obedient, how he left his home not knowing where God was going to take him to. Or we think about Moses' parents who are mentioned in that chapter, how they hid their baby among the bulrushes for about 3 months. Or when by faith the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea to the promised land. Great testimonies of faith which display how God was at work in their lives. Surely that provides encouragement to us. That cheers us on as we run the race before us. But we're not to think that we are Abraham or Moses. Of course not. We're in a different time and a different place. But by faith we trust in the same God, don't we? And we know that he is faithful to enable us to continue to the end of the race. Maybe you're finding that hard tonight. Maybe you're finding it hard to continue in that race. You're lacking the motivation to keep going. Well, I'll encourage you to turn to God's Word and to see how he has been at work in the lives of many people throughout the history of time over the centuries. Listen to the testimonies of those who God has brought to faith and used for his glory. I think it's something that we maybe need to be better at doing, is sharing testimony of what God has been doing in our lives with one another as we meet together, pointing them to how God has worked throughout time and history. So let us also run this race tonight knowing that by God's grace he has already brought many people to the end of the race. Secondly then, tonight we're to run the race without any hindrances. Run the race without any hindrances. Sometimes back then when athletes were preparing for a race, they would have strapped weights onto them as they were running to build their strength up. And athletes do the same today. You can get these weighted vests which they will wear, or sometimes you'll see people running with dumbbells in their hands to prepare them as part of their training. But they would never take these weights into the race, would they? They would never bring them with them because that would not be helpful. It would be a burden. It would be a hindrance of them running the race before them. So look at verse 1 when it says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." It's interesting here that he firstly includes throwing off weights or things that hinder. But what is it that he's talking about here? Well, it seems to be anything that's taking your focus off running that course that is before you. And that may even be something which actually is not sinful in itself. But it might be something that is holding you back in running the race. If you take work, for example, something that is good and necessary, Adam and Eve were even instructed to work in the Garden of Eden before the fall. But maybe your work has become your sole focus in life. It's all you think about. It takes you away from time with the Lord. It takes you away from worshiping here on Sundays, or even from serving within the church. It's become a hindrance to you running the race. Or you think it's also right and proper that believers are using their gifts to serve within the church in some way. But maybe you're consumed with being involved in every single aspect in the church, so it's become a hindrance to you actually having opportunities to witness outside of this place, to reach out to unbelievers. Or it's become so much that it's led you to burn out and you're just going through the motions. It doesn't actually mean much to you. Rest and leisure then are another thing that are good in themselves, and the Bible is clear that we are to have Sabbath rest. But maybe that's become more dominant in some people's lives where they actually only rest and they don't work or serve the Lord. You see, there needs to be that right balance. And that might involve putting off certain things to ensure that we remain on course in running the race and that path that is set before us. But the second aspect of this putting aside or putting off, well, it might seem more obvious, but it's not easy to do, and that is the laying aside of sin. And as Christians and followers of Christ, of course, we're to put off sin and to get rid of it from our lives. If you think of that passage in Colossians 3 where Paul told the people to put to death their sin. It's a bit like you would pull up a weed in the garden and get rid of it. It is plucked out of your life. It is thrown out. Sometimes there's this misunderstanding that when you become a Christian, well, then you should never sin again. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We, of course, have been forgiven. We have received that perfect righteous status of Christ. But sin does remain a threat to Christians. We are tempted in many ways, and unfortunately, we fail to live out the way we should. But that doesn't mean that we just accept that. It doesn't mean that we just continue on in that sin or we become comfortable with it. You wouldn't be much of an athlete if you kept on that weighted vest as you ran the race. The longer they would keep them on in that race, the more tired they would get, the more weighed down they would be, the harder it would be actually to get to the end and finish the race. Thankfully, if we are in Christ tonight, by the power of his Holy Spirit, sin no longer has control over us. And so we are able to repent from it. We can repent from those ways. We can resist the temptation. We can step away from those things which hinder us in the race. And we must turn away from those things that hinder. But we don't just do that as we come to the start of January. We don't just do that as we make resolutions once a year. This is an ongoing battle in our lives. Day by day by day. But to do that, I think we need to have a change in mindset. Because so often we're so used to thinking, well, is that really a weight? Is that really a hindrance in our life? We try to justify things because we don't actually want to get rid of them. We've become used to it, and we have become accepting of it. We ask the question, is it really sinful? Surely that's not too bad. It's not too bad if I do that wee thing. Sure, we'll just turn a blind eye to that. But you see, instead we should be asking the question, does this help me to run the race that is before me? Does this lifestyle or the things that I'm watching or listening to or the way that I treat my family or the way that I approach my work, do these things help me to better live for Christ and to run the race Or are these things holding me back? Are they distracting along the way? I've never come across anywhere in the Bible that says that Christians are to do the bare minimum to just get over the line. See, if you've come to faith in Christ, we have to run the race. We are called to run with endurance. So we put off those things that hinder and we press on and we live in a way that honors Christ and brings glory to his name. Finally then, we run the race by looking to Jesus. We run the race by looking to Jesus. I wasn't much of a long distance runner in my youth, but I did whilst take part in the 100 meter sprint. And I always remembered that important advice when I was running it, to keep focused on the finish line. Not to be looking at your feet or not to be looking at the person left and right of you, but to keep your eyes ahead, to look up and look ahead at the finish line. And as we run this spiritual race, we can look, of course, to those great examples of the faith that we've talked about who have already completed the race. We can take much encouragement from them. We can also look at our own lives and we can see the sinful things and the things that are hindering us. We can try to throw them off and we can put them aside so that we can run a better race. You see, those are great in some extent, but they're pointless if we do it on our own effort. We must look to Jesus and fix our eyes on him. Because as verse 2 says here, that we do it by looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I think so often within the church, we're very much clear that Jesus is the founder of our faith. We recognize that we're saved from the consequences of sin and that it's through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, and through trusting in him that we have faith and eternal life. As Ephesians 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I think we're all very clear on that. We're all very familiar with that. Yet I think I find sometimes that there's an attitude amongst Christians that Jesus just did the hard bit in saving us, and then somehow he just leaves us to continue the race ourselves. You see, when we start to think that we can do that part of it ourselves, when we think that we can endure on our own, then we're taking our focus off Christ. When we start to think, well, if only I read my Bible a bit more, if only I pray a bit more, if only I'm at all the meetings in the church, if only I can stop doing those things that are wrong, well, then I'll be all right. You see, it's just like we're making more resolutions. We're trying to do it on our own. And although these are good things for a Christian to be involved in, if the sole focus is not on Christ, then we will not endure in any of this. You see, we can only continue to run with endurance and grow in faith when we depend on Jesus for both saving us and perfecting us. As Paul said in Philippians 1, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. See, if we were left to do it ourselves, it would be like an athlete running with his laces untied or even one foot tied to the other. We would stumble, we would fall, we wouldn't be able to make it to the end of the race. But what a great assurance it is tonight, if you have truly come to saving faith in Christ, that we will never fall away. That he will bring us across that finish line and we will receive that great prize of glory and being in the presence of him forever. But that doesn't mean that we're just carried along with no input. We have a responsibility to live in light of what Christ has done and is doing in our lives. See, as we keep our eyes fixed on him, as we seek to live by his word, and he uses these testimonies of past heroes of the faith to spur us on. And as the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, those who have come to faith, then we recognize those areas that need to be confessed. Those things that are hindering us are made known. They stand out like a sore thumb in our lives. You see, we must continue to look to Jesus. And as verse 3 says, we consider him. We consider how he ran the race before us. Because it is through what he accomplished on earth that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. See, it is only through him that any of this is possible. But he is also that perfect example to follow. Because it tells us here that he endured the cross. And there he suffered much anguish as he took on that wrath of God for our sins. And he hung on that cross, and it says that it brought shame on him. Because you see, this death sentence was only for the lowest of the low criminals. Yet Jesus endured that hostility, and he completed the task that was set before him. But how did Jesus continue to do that? How did he complete that race, run that race through these horrific circumstances? Well, look at what it says. It was for the joy that was set before him that he endured. See, he kept his eyes on the joy that would be his when he crossed the finish line and could say, "It is finished." Just as athletes run to win the prize and cross the line, Jesus knew the great prize that was awaiting, that through his death and resurrection would be brought about. A prize that would bring eternal life and joy for all who trust and believe in him. A prize that would set him in that position at the right hand of the Father where he would reign over all. See, Jesus was obedient and endured through the most difficult and trials that we will never even imagine. Of course, we will face trials on this Christian race. But we must endure to the end. As Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, if we endure with him, we will also reign with him. But how are you going to endure throughout 2019? Are you depending on New Year's resolutions that you have made? Depending on things that you can try to do to be a better Christian this year? The only way we can truly run the race before us is to look to Jesus and to consider him each day, to consider all that he has done for us and in us. He endured much so that we would receive the prize and experience the joy of knowing him, not only this year, but for all eternity. So I want to ask you tonight, are you in the race? If not, then you need to look to Jesus tonight and come into that race and respond in faith and trust in him. And if you are a follower of Jesus, then you are already in the race and you must run in it. You must run with perseverance, endurance, keeping your eyes fixed on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you that there are many here tonight who can say that they are running that race. They have come to that saving faith in Jesus, and they know that he is with us each step of the way. Lord, we pray that we might keep our eyes fixed on him. We pray that we might depend on Christ as we run the race that you have set before us. But Lord, if there's any here tonight who don't yet know Christ, who are not yet entered into that race, we pray tonight that they might come to faith, that they might run that race, and Lord, they might be with you for all eternity also. Lord, we thank you for your word to us tonight. And Lord, we pray that that might be the true motivation as we live out this week ahead and the year that you have set before us. Lord, may you go before us in everything that we do until Christ returns or until you take us to be with him. In Jesus' name we pray.